Hey guys, it's Friday night. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to give away a box set of Hit the Beach for Flames of War. But what we'd like you to do is please take a moment to come across to ontabletop.com, create yourself a free account, and post a comment below this video there. And we'll pick a winner from there this week. Otherwise, on YouTube, please do keep subscribing, hitting likes, and sharing the videos. It really does help us out during these times. So thank you so much. We're still continuing to march on to get to 100,000 subscribers. That'll be quite a milestone when we make it. So yay! Right. We're ready. Are you ready? Because the weekend starts now. Hey guys, weekender time. Okay, this week we are minus a Justin. We've had to rotate some of the team to try and keep on top of the stuff that we've gone on between homes and studios and everything. So Justin is beavering away, but all been well. We'll get him back next week. So this week you're stuck with myself, Lloydie, Ben, and Jerry. Yay!
Hello, peeps.
Right, I have a couple of updates that I just want to run through with you guys. Lloydie, I'm going to attempt a screen share here, man, just to see if I can make this work. All right,
let's screw the whole show up. Yeah, let's do that.
Are you seeing my screen?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, we are. Of course.
Okay, good, because I have no idea how this worked or not. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to show you guys is that we have a sanctuary, our Discord channel. It's the Cogito Ludus Discord channel. It's for the Cult of Games members. And what we did at the start of this whole crisis debacle, we opened it up for our entire community. So I just wanted to remind you that if you're out there in isolation and stuff like that, you know, you have friends here. We're all together in there. There's a lot of fun and carry on going on in it. So definitely it's worth checking out. I just wanted to pinpoint some of the things that whenever you join, there'll be a link to join in this post, both on the YouTube and on this post and on tabletop.com. Now, right, Ben?
Yep,
we'll have the link in there. We'll also have a little guide, a little PDF guide that you can download to show you how it all works. Whenever you come in, the first thing it'll do is ask you to join to pick a team, okay? So what you can do is you go in there and you pick a team, and the teams are basically like our houses, and it allows us to do little house challenges and stuff. And we have the House of Three Truths, the House of Rejuvenation, my team. We have the House of Water, the wet ones. That's Jerry's team.
And Ben's.
And my team, yeah.
And Ben's team. And then we have the team that nobody else can join. It's the team of one. It is, of course, the team of the Mootness Tootness. And that is where Justin was heading up the House of Three Truths. And then they banded together and they said, Justin, you're rubbish at this. Go and find your own house. So Justin has been relegated to his own house of the Mootness Tootness. Other than that, we have these common areas. Okay, so we have this little one here with the beer icon. That's the sanctuary. We then have trash talk. I'm not going to click on that. I have more sense than to do that. We have tech talk, because one of the things that we've all been noticing is we can help one another with little technical issues. Like, I've been having broadband issues. So I'm in tech talk, getting advice from others. We have a load of techie people within the community who are helping and giving advice and so on. We've got the share your stuff area, where people are sharing links to their projects and to what they're doing in the What Are You Painting Now thread. We have the kids activity support area, where it's basically where we're sharing ideas of things that we can do with our kids and any little ones that we have. We have separated out COVID-19 discussions into its own area, and then we have the very special Cogs Against Humanity area, but I'll describe more about that as and when you join the Discord server. Other than that, we have our little boredom feeds where daily we try and update that. So people send us links via the fire hose, and then our guys curate that and drop it into cool historical things to look at, cool sci-fi things to look at, cool fantasy things to look at, cool solo gaming things to look at, 3D printing, and so on and so forth. So if you find yourself bored, the boredom feeds are there for you to go in, check them, and see if there's cool things either for you to download or for you to watch or whatever. And it's curated, so it is just links to cool stuff. You're not having to trail through a lot of chit-chat in the process. Right. So that's that. If I stop that share, does that work? Yeah,
it did work.
Yes.
Hey! We survived.
We're getting the hang of this. We are getting the hang of this. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is I just want to do a little shout out about the Spring Clean Challenge, okay? So the Spring Clean Challenge we kicked off a few weeks ago. It's running all the way to the start of the summer. So it's running to like June 20th or June 21st, yeah, where myself and Jerry will go out naked and worship the rising sun god in front of some stone monoliths. Right, Jerry?
On the weekend.
So I want to tell you a little bit about the project. So I'm going to share my screen once again. I can't believe I'm getting the hang of this, boys. I'm getting the hang of this. So whenever you come to the On Tabletop website, the project system is a cool area where you can create a project of your own and keep it updated as you kind of rock through it, okay? So to get to it, whenever you come to On Tabletop, click on this little projects link here, and that will bring you to the project system. That happens to be my project. So what I'm going to do is show you this one. Can you see that? So if you click projects, it brings you through to projects, and here you can see all of the active projects that people are currently working through. We have some thousands of them in there, but we have like about 100 of them really active at the moment as part of the Spring Clean Challenge. So whenever you get into the project system, you can filter projects by different types of projects or by genre of projects. You can find projects by particular games that we have within the core game catalog on the On Tabletop site. And you can filter projects by any particular contest or challenge that we're running. So the Spring Clean Hobby Challenge is in there. There's 102 linked into it at the moment. So that filters that down. You then can go into a project. We'll go into Panzer Kaputz here for a quick look.
It'll just upset me again.
Oh, is it good? Yeah. So
he's painting like 20 men a night. It's embarrassing is what it is.
So this is his project. So he's been creating a Kings of War army from scratch, pretty much, based on some of the Perry miniatures. He's making a Kingdom of Men army, and it is turning out pretty beautiful.
Look at the
rest.
So
you can go in.
Wow.
Check this out. Isn't that lovely?
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very cool.
So yeah, there's loads of projects in there. Projects are made up of entries. And then whenever you're in a project, be sure if you have an account to click on the tutoring or the skill or the idea button to give them little notifications, and that unlocks some extra XP and some achievements and things for those guys as well. Because you may not know this, but we have like a Xbox Live kind of achievement system on Tabletop, and as you do cool stuff, you unlock little achievements and the like. So very, very cool project, and it's a cool system, and it's great for us all to get involved because we can just share so much cool stuff with one another.
And if you're part of the wargaming groups and things on Facebook, it's a great idea to go, here's the latest stuff I've just done, and then include a link to your project so that people can see even more of what you've been working on.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Very cool.
My last little update then is just one for you guys to see. We,
Just before you jump off the Spring Clean Challenge,
yeah,
Remember, there's a prize and stuff you can win.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is a prize. So at the end of the Spring Clean Challenge, we have four 50 pound vouchers that we're going to be giving out to you guys. It's for fun, guys, you know, but we're doing it for the most skilled project. So that's projects that that show the really cool skills. We're doing it for the project that was the most tutorial based, you know. So that's regardless of skill, regardless of your idea, did you describe it well so that people could follow along and try it at home? We have one for the best idea, so that doesn't matter about your execution or how well you described it. It's just about the core idea. Did you come up with something that was just really, really interesting as an idea that might inspire someone else to give it a go? And then we have a young blood one, which is for under 16s and for the youngsters in our hobby, just getting into the hobby or whatever. So we have a little separate one for them, and we'll pick a winner there as well.
Cool.
Yay. Final one is we have, I just want to do a quick shout out to anybody in Northern Ireland or within the UK, parts of the UK anyway. We've switched all our 3D printing around to try and help with the health workers on the front lines of all of this. So if I do a quick screen share again, there we go. We started printing out these we call them like ear guards. And what they are is they're a little 3D printed attachment for the face masks, because what's happening is the health professionals are wearing these face masks around their ears, and it's uncomfortable, B, it's chaffing, but over time, because they have to wear them all day, every day, it can actually start to cut in to the ears. And I imagine having any kind of like a scab or a sore open wound or whatever is not a good thing for someone on the front line at the moment. So we've been printing these out. We are producing dozens a day. I think 80 or 90 a day we're able to get out at the moment. We put up a Facebook post to in our area to say, look guys, we're producing these, they're free of charge for you, please reach out to us if you need them. The response has been fantastic. We've had ICU workers, we've had people working in care homes, we've had loads and loads of folk get in touch. And so what we're doing is we're bundling them up in packages, and they can come and collect them. We've also had folks in England reach out to try and get some as well. What we're doing with those is we're bundling them up and trying to get them posted out to you guys. So every printer we have, we've turned towards this stuff at the moment to try and see if we can do something to help, because otherwise we're feeling a bit helpless, you know, and we want to try with whatever capacity we have left for as long as we might have it to try and put it to as much good use as possible. We've had some folk reach out to us and say, look, can we give you a bit of help, kind of donate towards materials and things like that? If you want to do that, and by all means, this crisis has put all of us under pressure. So, you know, don't feel obliged to help at all. But the easiest way option for us is we buy all those spare parts like filament and print heads, and all the hot ends and stuff like that. We just pick all that stuff up from Amazon as we go. So the easiest option is to just fire us a couple of quid or something on an Amazon gift card. If you just address it to Warren at beastsofwar.com, that goes to our central kind of like Amazon account where we pick these bits and pieces up. But again, you and yours come first. So yeah, it's only the kind of thing to do if you want to, and you can actually spare a few quid. You know, it's we will find a way regardless to try and keep the thing running. But that is the easiest way for if you want to help out, to help out without any hassles. Right. I think I'm done with my screen shares.
Well done, you. On the 3D printing note,
yes.
Blue Healer, who's on the site and is an anesthetist in the States, he linked a... You may have heard about the little valves they were using in Italy for respirators.
Yes.
He linked to a Forbes article that I'll get stuck in the show notes, where I think it has the open source for that. And apparently the 3D printing community on Twitter are quite big at the moment, where there's like sub-communities. So if people have 3D printers, there may be avenues there for you to get involved at a local level yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Not being into 3D, I don't know about any of these communities that exist. But I'll put the link into his, because the headbands, I think, came from open source from a guy in Canada. Canada.
Yeah. There's a lot of different options out there of things that you can print in your local area. We're doing these first. And what we're doing is keeping an eye and reaching out to any kind of... A lot of areas are setting up their own kind of COVID-19 support groups. So what we're trying to do is to reach out to them and say, look, you know, we'll get some hundreds of these pushed out first. But if there is anything else that we could print, like valves or replacement components and things like that, let us know and we will give it our best try. We'll give it our best try. So definitely, if you have 3D printers sitting spare at the moment and you can help, it's worth reaching out to your local COVID support groups and seeing if there is something that you can print out to help. Right. It's that time. It's time for the most important company in the world right now. And we will do our best to break their website.
We've not done that in literally days.
Yes, literally 7 days now since we've broken a website. If you were trying to get onto the website of last week's Indie of the Week, try again now. It is back up and running again. And you can see all that lovely Monty Python Holy Grail minis and stuff. It was great, okay? And if you haven't seen last week's Indie of the Week, you got to check it out because it was mind-blowingly good. Mind-blowingly good. Okay, Jerry, who is this week's Indie of the Week?
Well, Lloyd picked them. Do you want to talk us through Lloyd?
No? Oh, Lloyd picked them!
I didn't pick them. I just seen them pop up. And I went, you featured these people, Jerry?
I have.
Jerry will talk for hours and hours about these guys. So
settle in, everybody.
The company in question is Westphalia. Mm-hmm. So do you want, or shall I share this one then?
Lloyd's got all the stuff.
There we go. Yeah.
Happy days. There we go. Look at that.
Happy days. So... Westphalia Fantasy Miniatures started off doing Napoleonic stuff and then got into his fantasy more and ended up selling the Napoleonic range. So if you do want the Napoleonic, and it was fairly esoteric, it was like the Arabian and Egyptian stuff. At Black Hussar in Germany now have that, but point he's concentrated solely on the fantasy side, and the range is unusual, eclectic to say the least. Here we see a set of, we have been looking at female adventurers, which make a really nice set for Frostgrave, which is what I bought them for, because they're all northern-based, heavily furred female fighters. And they all have very different, unique looks to them. So there is a paladin, there's a fighter, there's a rogue somewhere bouncing on top of like a little archway, throwing daggers down at somebody below them. And the archway, it's a one-piece cast, it's beautiful. So they're a realistic look at female fighters. Even the barbarian isn't, you know, chainmail bikinied. She is wearing clothes to protect her against the upcoming elements. Frosts.
And the elements, yeah.
And the elements. The elves, again, the elves are particularly nice. The feral elves is how Kame described them, which is could be painted in Native American sort of look to them with buff.
They, do nethers have a bit
and
of a
feathers.
Last Mohican kind of a look about exactly. them, don't they? Yeah.
But I've also seen people painting them as if they were Celtic in tartans and plaids.
Oh, and oh that's
and
cool.
Blue war paint. Yeah. And they both, because it's just a very, I don't want to say generic because it's not generic, but it's a very subtle, agnostic
blank,
look.
Blank canvas. Yeah,
it really
yeah.
is. And you can put whatever you want to put onto them. I am a very big fan of Raymond E. Feist's Rift War, and in it you had High Elves and Dark Elves, although they're not called High Elves and Dark Elves, and Wood Elves, but then there was also a set called the Mad Elves, the Glamdrahil, who were a barbaric set of elves who had lost contact with the rest of the races, and nobody really knew they even existed, and they were in furs and feathers, whereas the other elves were all more traditional, and whenever I seen these for the first time, I was like, oh, these would be fantastic for that.
Yes.
Very cool.
They would suit a Braveheart scheme, wouldn't they? Yeah. With the blue half faces and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, love so. It.
But what he really is keen on is his little guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just see the start here, the dog-faced fellas, the kobolds.
Yeah.
And they are tiny. People who've seen any of my stuff may have seen like the giant caterpillar with the little kobold handlers comes from Westphalia. And these were made specifically to be a counter against pretty much his first passion, which is his halflings, which he's worked on over the years. And these have beggared me over the years, to be brutally honest, because I keep throwing money at goat cavalry and every now and again he'll do a set. So these are very traditional sort of 100-year war, middle-aged sort of look to them, so they have a very traditional look, but occasionally he'll do little one shots, like maybe a Kickstarter that will be for his Arab halfmen. So and so you occasionally get little things that don't always they won't always be on the shop, but there are little things in the background, so they've been like little halfling wizards on flying carpets and stuff.
These goat cavalry are gorgeous.
The goat calves are spectacular. And not just that, because those are the heavy armored goat calf. There's also mounted sergeants in sort of medium armor and scout goat calf as well.
Oh, of course there is. Look at them.
So you've got all three types of light, medium, brilliant. And heavy cavalry.
Yeah. The
paymaster, if you see that middle one, the ogre. Oh, ignore the wizard. Nobody cares about her. The ogre.
Yeah.
That's particularly good because it's a halfling paymaster mounted on ogre. And he's just delightful because he's got a little money counter that it's like a papoose, like a little baby carrier thing that he's strapped to, but he's also got a little change thing in front of him where he's counting out all the money for his.
These would be really good if you were going to be making a moot army for like old Warhammer fantasy battles and stuff.
Yeah, or League of Rodria. Which for kings, so you know,
this range is enormous.
This is just the fantasy side. Now, if you go to the next link, actually, because we could just keep going through this forever and ever and not get any further,
forever.
He has recently decided to go into 3D printing.
Oh,
now you see that guy hidden at the top there behind that subscribe to our list.
Yes,
that model is available now. If you subscribe to your list, you'll automatically be sent the download for him.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't decided what they're going to or how they're going to present this yet, but on the run-up, while they're figuring this out, whether it's going to be a Kickstarter or a Patreon or part of the shop, every month they're going to put another model in for free. So if you subscribe to the newsletter, you're going to get another model every month. But the idea behind this is it's all going to be halfling based, so it's not just going to be miniatures, but he's also going to put halfling hobbit holds or halfling holds, so the fronts of things or bits that you can print out maybe full buildings, because I know before he had resin buildings that are no longer available that were like goat stables for your little halfling in, full interiors and stuff as well. So the 3D side is coming together. He's doing some of the sculpting himself, but he's also got other sculptors on board because he works with some of the best. I mean, Paul Hicks, I think Matt Bickley, Boris, not going to pronounce Boris' second name. Because
Wallace, I think his name is. Yeah.
Could be, certainly. what I'm not going to do is piss him off. But amongst a host of really talented designers and sculptors. So you've always got something new coming in, and certain ranges are sculpted by specific people. So you've got a coherent theme going through. There's my centipede.
One of the cool things One of the cool things he's been planning for a while, I think, Jerry, is that he's doing these collaborations with a lot of other people. And one of them is around the Lone Wolf adventure book series.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure at what stage it's at the moment, but I remember back a couple of months ago last year, they were going to do an art book followed by some models as well.
Yeah.
And he's going to be working on doing models based on the illustrations that Gary Chalk did for those Lone Wolf books. So if you remember those,
yeah,
there's some cool stuff hopefully on the way.
So. That's an interesting one in and of itself, because he contacted Gary. There's a Lone Wolf figure.
There is.
Yeah. Hidden on the site. Which is just, it was sculpted by somebody for him. I can't remember who did it. It might have been Paul Hicks. But he sculpted this lovely, based on the old classic cover. If you go to the homepage, Lloyd, and you're gonna actually scroll down and see, or it might actually be the third link, might be the homepage in question. Scroll down, deeper and down.
We're just making this hard for you, Lloyd.
No. If you keep going down. So these are the various things. So the Owl Brew Challenge. Stop. In fact, well, before we get to Gary, we'll do these, and then we can talk about Gary at the end. Mm-hmm. Go up one, slightly up. I did an article where I did a big update about Westphalia this week. So there's some weird and wacky things coming. So Archer Initiative, it's not. That's the Avengers. Put that in my head. Archer Inventive is a artist who also does role-playing and LARPing, and she has a group of knights. She's the Prideful Paladin or the Pride Paladin, and then there's seven knights with her, seven other LARPers. They've actually got models being made of each of these characters, so they're going to be coming out in collaboration with her, and her website has a lot of art from classical art, where you will actually have paintings and stuff down to cartoon sketches. I believe she's actually going to be doing some artwork for the knights as their characters as well. Mm-hmm. So that's quite cute. Below that, we've got Dead Man's Guide to Dragongrin. This has just come out on PDF mm-hmm. for the Kickstarters, with the actual book coming in a couple of months, so we should be seeing more on this soon. But Dragongrin is a fifth edition world. It's not a specific realm that's mentioned. This is a group of guys working off the fact that fifth edition is open source to build their world. The PDF that's just come out within the past few weeks is 450 pages. Wow. So they have built their world from the ground up, and Westphalia are going to be doing the models for it. There's not a huge amount of monsters in that book. There's like a handful, because if people want monsters, they can pull them from standard D&D. But what they have done is built this whole world with, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's like, he's not called the Dreadlord, but he's something like that. There's like an overarching villain in the background who's been doing this world of Dragongrin, and the Marrow Legion are sort of the main faction that people will fall against or come up against.
Yeah, it's like proper dark fantasy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. That's unusual.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Zoom. If you scroll down then a bit further, we should see Gary Chalk, and we'll see the thing. I think he's at the very bottom of the page, possibly. So there is the Jude Deaver Lone Wolf front cover.
This homepage is just glorious.
Oh,
it's amazing. Candy.
It really is. So at the moment, that is all that exists. The sculptor who was working on it did it as a personal project for Cave, and we all seen it, and it was like, when are we getting that? And he went, well, I can't, it's not a licensed thing, I can't send it out. So he contacted Gary, and Gary went, yeah, sure. Now, because Gary did stuff for the artwork, he can only use the stuff that Gary has the rights for. So Gary didn't do all of the Lone Wolf books from back in the day, if you remember the old Fighting Fantasy. But what Gary said is they're planning on doing a Kickstarter, and Gary is going to do new illustrations specifically for it. And the Kickstarter will be like an artwork book from Gary Chalk, along with miniatures based on his stuff as well. So you have to wait, unfortunately.
And one of the cool things about Gary Chalk is that he did the artwork for Burrows and Badgers as well. So
he did. It's all cool. He's done an awful lot of stuff. Gary's been working in the industry for years, so he's done Rackham for Confrontation. He worked for GW. Yeah, it's, I mean, like you said, I could talk about Westphalia for a long, long time.
I thought they had a Persian type range.
No, see, and this is what I'm saying now. So, the Persian Napoleonics went to Black Hussar. The Persian Arabs, halflings, were never really available. Now, you see at the top, there's a thing called the Darkest Crate. You won't really see anything there at the moment, except a little thing going, there's a Dark Crate coming. Uh-huh. But he's doing a subscription loot crate type thing, which will not be every month, so it's relatively pricey compared to some other loot crates. But he said every sort of 3 to 4 months, there'll be a bucket load of stuff in it, which would be great for RPGs. And the stuff that is in it will not be available on the website, so you won't be able to buy bits and bobs. So the things like the Persian halflings, the Harabs, as he called them, will probably reappear. A lot of the stuff on this page, which is out of stock, which I have most of it, which is good, will probably end up in there. But also there are 4 Mandalorian-based figures coming. We've reviewed a couple of them on the website in the past, so... Uh-huh. It's not the Mandalorian from the Mandalorian because it's a fantasy version. So it's the Paladorian. He comes with a crossbow and a sword, or he can be holding a tiny little goblin or elf baby.
Yeah.
A la Baby Yoda. He's also, these ones are being sculpted by Boris. He's also done an iron golem that looks like the IG nanny bot. Lara Dune. I'm trying to remember the name of the Republic drop trooper. She's getting a fighter model, and she looks superb. And then one more, which I don't think they've revealed it yet, but I think it's going to be based off Bill Burr's pistol wielding maniac from the prison break in Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And those will only be available in that crate, along with other stuff sort of bundled in. So if you're after some weird or wacky things.
That's the thing to go for.
Part is gorgeous. So yeah, the loot crate, if you like me, you go, I really like these things for this for the reason that I really like these things, then
yeah,
it's certainly one to look at. That female thief bouncing on top of the little bit of
I love that. Yeah, female
it's these little you said, if you use miniatures in your RPGs, you're wrong, but if you do, this is a great place to come to. if you're just after, I mean, that as a Frostgrave group is just superb.
Yeah.
Paladin the thing that I think is really nice about that range, and quite a lot of the stuff he does, is that it's, as well as it being useful for like proper tabletop gaming purposes, so wargaming and stuff, proper. You can use it to create some amazing dioramas. If you took some, because of the motion that they managed to get into a lot of the sculpts and stuff like that, with, you know, fire flickering and cloaks blowing and stuff, they'd be perfect for, you know, using in entries to go to painting competitions and stuff. So
yeah, that that Wizard's Apprentice, and this was the reason I went, oh, that'd be great for Frostgrave, because your wizard always has an apprentice, and that is actually a pair. So she's holding a bowl full of blood, and then the master has got a heart and blood dropping off the dagger, so you can't put them together as a little, you know, she's kneeling down offering the votive offering to her master. They're just beautiful. everything's a delight, and everything takes my money away from it. it's well worth checking out. So the other thing I did, apart from making a nice new shiny website, because the old website was a little bit browbeaten and broken over the years because he moved to Canada, was they were still getting stuff cast in England, and it was causing bottlenecks, so everything had to come from there. And if somebody else was getting stuff cast, then it slowed stuff down. And there was a lot of out of stock on the website. He's branched out and got a few more sculptors in different places and a few more casters and the like. So it's freeing up some of these. We're not seeing, you know, just pages of constantly out of stocks. There is, you know, if somebody's sculpting range A, then somebody else is producing range B. So like the Darkest Eye is coming, the second wave of those, which give them more soldiers and undead figures to go with the heroes and characters that they did at the end of last year from the first one. So that's going to be
gorgeous.
Exciting. Absolutely. And money-breaking. The only good thing is I'll be able to save money on the 3D stuff because I won't have to get that. Means I could just devote more money into these. I really want an army of those Marrow Legion. We should probably close this before I cry.
Yes. Before we start seeing glimpses of your credit card coming out. Right, guys.
You won't need to. I own most of this stuff here. It's just the new stuff I'm worried about.
Guys, you can check out Westphalia Miniatures at westphaliaminiatures.com. beautiful stuff. Absolutely beautiful. Right, that was your Indie of the Week. Next up is Ben's Public Service.
Coming to you from the center of Northwestern Europe. Covering board games, war games, card games, and all that you love. It's the news.
So the first bit of news that we're going to be looking at this week is from the guys at Games Workshop. Again, they held one of their previews over the last weekend. And in that, they showed off some more stuff for the World of 140,000. And the first little bit of awesome news from them was that they're going to be bringing back a couple of characters from the sort of wider world of Warhammer 40,000 and also a graphic novel as well. Anyone who remembers Demonifuge, or Demonfuge, as it were, it was a graphic novel that came out, you know, way back when in black and white. I believe Jerry even has a copy on his person.
Hold on.
There it is. Well, I'm begging him.
There you go. Well, they're going to be bringing that back in graphic novel form in a big new collection in full color this time rather than just black and white. And
aren't we blessed?
And as well as the graphic novel, they're also going to be bringing those characters from that graphic novel to life. So Ephril Stern and Kynagil, her sort of Harlequin bodyguard slash companion, slash may have his own sort of initiative going on in the background thing, is also going to be included in this set. So we've got two very sort of outliers from the world of Warhammer 40,000 coming back into the fold as part of a new book at the same time, as well as top of Demonifuge. So you've got Demonifuge, you've got these new models, and you're also going to get a new Psychic Awakening book, which follows them, called Pariah as well.
Right.
And that's sort of tied into the idea of nulls within the world of 140,000. Because one of the big things about this sort of set of books going forward has been that they've been looking to try and heighten the power of psychers within the world of 140,000. But in this book that's coming up, I believe it's going to be book 9 in the series, they're going to look towards the nulls that are there to try and stop psychers from using their abilities.
This book here, Ben.
No, so that's the graphic novel. We haven't actually got a cover for Psychic Awakening, but a lot of those themes are covered in Demonifuge, which is pretty cool as well. So they're all going to have rules, obviously.
So this 9th book is more of a Psychic on Awakening then?
Basically, yeah. They're going to undo everything they've already done. They're going to do with all their campaigns. So you've got some really cool looking models there, which I think a lot of people have really enjoyed. I think everyone quite likes Stern sort of leaping down. Obviously, she's on a rock, because who isn't nowadays? But she looks pretty awesome and dynamic, about to descend with her blade to kill somebody or something.
I like Def Leppard guy with his little leather crotch pouch.
Yes.
So it's I think that's kind of cool.
What?
I think I would paint him up to look like either Brucey Dickinson or Stevie, Steve bass player.
Stevie Nicks? No.
No. Steve from Iron Maiden.
Oh, right, okay.
But
right.
During the Live After Death tour. No. It's, God. You're going to have me Googling here. Steve Iron Maiden.
Ah, Steve Irwin. Aye.
Not Steve Irwin. Yeah, Steve Harris.
Oh.
Steve Harris. I should be ashamed of myself that I forgot Rolf's brother's name. Anyway, if you've never seen... In fact, with the power of my screen sharing, check this out.
He's doing that.
We're off the reservation.
Wait.
That's fine. You close all your tabs of unusualness and then open up other ones. It's interesting they've gone for the Harlequin and Ephriel, because I would have really liked to see Inquisitor Hand, because he was a great-looking character.
Well, the thing is, it might be interesting to see them do them in plastic, but then move on to do something in Forge World in resin, potentially.
That's true. I would like to just a hand sitting at the tree when he was dead, or dying, rather, just in his power armor, just looking very small with this huge hulking armor would be a lovely piece.
What is all this? Is this tiles that are that the other person's walking on that are lapping up either side of them?
Are you ready for this?
It could be coming out of the webway, because they do go to the Black Library.
If you're ready for this, right, so... My Steve Harris paint job on this guy, right?
Oh, my Lord.
Check this out.
Right, yes.
Look at that spandex. Now, do you see that? Do you see that bulging pouch there?
Right? Yeah, it's hard to see anything else.
Yeah, it's real.
Clearly, but what you'd have to do then is so, take the studs off his sculpted pouch. So you've got a nice smooth pouch.
And just stick them on. Yeah. Just put them on. Because clearly, Steve Harris in his stripy spandex, okay, would look amazing as that model. And clearly, Steve Harris could do with that leather protector thingy me bob that he's got.
Could do.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah. I'd be amazing. I've nailed it again, guys. I've nailed it.
Anytime you want to stop sharing that, yeah.
So this also led us on to another...
For any budding heavy metalers out there, okay, it just shows, so as you know, that there is a secret to that whole thing. It's called a cucumber wrapped up in tin foil, okay? So it's okay, you Ben, go. You may now proceed.
Watch out for the metal detectors.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, building on from that, they also showed off some stuff for their wider world as well. So there's a project that they're working on at the moment called Warhammer Storyforge, and that's where they're going to be doing things like their animations and that kind of thing. And one of the big feature-length projects they're working on is for a film called Angels of Death. And this is a Blood Angels versus Tyranids full-length film, so it's going to be around 90 minutes, we believe, and it shows both of these forces clashing within space. It's done in a slightly more sort of strange and out there style of animation, so it's done with like a noir feel to it, and they've also worked in some really interesting sort of vibrance that you might have known from like films like Sin City and stuff.
Do you know what it looks like? It looks like the art style they're using on the books.
It does, yeah.
I really like that.
Now, the thing is, I've been talking to the guys about this as well, is that I'm fully up for them doing big animated projects, right? But I think that the actual close-up details for the characters and stuff within this trailer look really wooden and stiff and odd. And when you see things that we're going to talk about in a second...
It's probably because they've seen my pictures of Steve Harris.
That's probably what it is. But so, the thing that I've been talking about with this is that if you're going to do this kind of project, don't go for like the full, you know, 90-minute style feature film or something like that. Do it at like half an hour, 40 minutes, and then keep the budget around making that look amazing. Because while this looks good, and I know a lot of people like this, it's just not really my style, I don't think. But I'm sure it'll be great. It can't be Ultramarine, can it? So that'll be...
Wait. There's always the possibility that it could turn out like Ultramarine.
It could go to Ultramarine.
I mean, it's cool and all. Do you think they've just desaturated all this for the actual trailer, but the final version will be in color, or is the whole
thing? No, it's all going to be like this. It's all going to be like this. This apart is the style the they've gone for. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were talking about it in the preview that it's going to be this style, so you get more of like that stylized feel to it. So
because as jumping around as that was, when you were getting the close-ups on whoever that was on board of the ship, every time I was trying to look at her, my eye was caught by the little tiny red man a mile away behind her. So I kept looking past to him. Yeah. And not actually paying attention to what should be my focus, presumably, if the camera's tight on her face.
Who are we talking about?
Maybe every now and again you would see like a zoom in.
She's her. The captain of the ship. Yeah.
Is this, who knows? Because I'm not looking at her, I'm looking at the fella that far away in
that
red.
That dude there in the back,
Because the red's more eye-catching, and I kept missing what was going on with that. But
now, this is sort of only part of what the Storyforge is doing. And if you go back to the news story there, you'll scroll down. That's a snapshot of another one of the animations they're going to be doing as part of these more the sort of anthology they're doing. Mm-hmm. It will involve a whole bunch of different styles of animation. So if anyone's seen Love, Death and Robots, which was on Netflix, that had a whole bunch of different animated shorts that were done in different styles. Basically, Games Workshop and Storyforge are going to do exactly the same kind of thing. That is more of the style that I like.
Mm.
I like that more realistic look to things. I think that looks much better. But hands down, I think the stuff we saw a couple of weeks ago for the for Death's Hand and Hammer and Bolter with the sort of a more anime-inspired sort of drawing, I think is much more up my street. But pretty cool stuff.
I'm exactly the opposite. So. I could leave the anime stuff, and I quite like that noir thing that they're going for.
Yeah, the noir would be fine for me. I just don't like the animation style. I think it looks like early 2000s video game sort of CG kind of thing.
To be fair, I'm watching it. It does make me want to play a reskinned version of Eve.
Is that just modern spoiledness? Because I can remember when Dawn of War came out and there was the intro to it. I was like, oh, that'd be amazing if there was like a feature length version of that intro. And now here we are 10 odd years later, whatever it is, going,
If animation hadn't progressed, that would be fine.
I can understand that animation costs money, and that's obviously a massive factor in this, because obviously Games Workshop, they're big, but they're not big in this scene.
Yeah.
So having to bring people in to do this kind of thing, the budgets are obviously going to be very interesting there. But
we're spoiled, though, recently, Ben, by what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes.
Oh, yes.
What's it called again?
Oh, yeah, well, we might as well move on to that now, actually.
I think there was something else in that story.
Yeah, there was, but it's not that great. But
let's move on then.
We've got a couple more miniatures. Forge World are going to be doing a couple of new Praetor models for the Word Bearers. So they're going to do a Praetor in power armor, as you can see there, and also a Praetor in Terminator armor. So if you're a Word Bearer player and you like the Horus Heresy, then you've got some good options there for your Legion. And of course, you can move all the stuff with Chaos and everything from the Horus Heresy into the 41st Millennium and the Grim Dark Future as well.
So I tell you what, based on watching that trailer, you could create that world a lot quicker because you could like paint up your Blood Angels in red and then just grayscale all your terrain and stuff to go with it. I'm playing it. I kept feeling that there should be
something much closer to me in black and white.
Black and white Zenith, and you've got the whole thing covered, man. You know, so, okay. Fanflix up next.
There is a project that has been around for maybe the last couple of years, and it's called Astartes. And it's done by a guy who started off just doing it as like a little bit of a fun thing. But he moved on to getting a whole bunch of people behind him and supporting him on Patreon to create a series that is probably about, in total, about 10 minutes long. But every sort of segment is between 1 to 5 minutes long each. And it basically shows his Retributor Space Marines that he came up with and had built the fluff for, tackling a spaceship in the just above a planet and fighting their way through a nest of cultists and traitor guardsmen to try and bring down some psychers. But I won't say any more and spoil it. But the animation for this is absolutely outstanding.
This just totally come along and crapped all over them, unfortunately. Yeah. Just like this sets your expectations way up there, whereas the other one's probably really difficult too. But
yes,
he's only producing like his longest one is 5 minutes now.
He's
on his own though, as far as I'm aware, which is a mammoth task. I'm like, just like, oh man, what are you? I'll bring up some of it in the background.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing that I really like about this is that it shows off Space Marines in the way that, like, you read about them in the books and you imagine them in the codexes and on the tabletop. Because a lot of people create Space Marines as, like, these big, hulking, power-armored guys, but they actually are incredibly agile, very fast, efficiently brutal, which is shown off in this short quite amazingly well. And the only time I've ever seen Space Marines done this well in the past has been in the Space Marine video game, if anybody remembers that, from THQ, which was absolutely awesome. Shame they didn't actually get around to making the sequel for that one, but the actual animation here is stunning. Even though it's only about 10 minutes long in sort of length, I think the action and everything he's been able to convey, the story is really good. And one of the things that me and Lloyd were talking about earlier is that there's an absence of speaking and dialogue in the film, and everything is taught through action. And you can tell what's going on simply by the actions they do and how they're moving and all that kind of thing. Mm. And even when it comes to some of the slightly more action-packed scenes, you get a real sense for how epic it is simply by the characters in the film doing stuff.
So, like this whole scene here, the Space Marines are basically just nodding to each other and doing their thing, and there's no dialogue, which is what I love about it. I love the fact that there's a little bit of dialogue and stuff with some of the characters, but there's very little dialogue, because what busts a lot of 40K stuff for me is when the Space Marines and stuff open their mouths and I'm just like,
everything is about the Emperor and destroying things for the
Emperor. Let's go. It's just like, just grates on me. This way it can tell a story without basically saying any words is just epic. I don't know if you could watch it for an hour.
Oh yeah.
Because what confused me about the project when I was talking to Ben about this was that there's five parts, and part one was a few. Hold up.
It's like a minute and a bit long or something like that.
It wasn't very long. Part one, part five is amazing. It's seven.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious stuff.
It's also spawned 51 dozens and dozens of memes as well. So
yeah.
All right. Part two is a minute.
Yeah.
Part three is a minute and a half. Part four, 2 minutes. So
gradually getting bigger. Yeah.
Gradually getting bigger as he's gathering.
That's as he gets more patrons.
So I was confused as to what this is. I was wondering, are these clips out of a bigger project? Does this all come together? Are we only seeing little bits of some bigger story?
Well, hopefully he's going to bring it all together into one piece eventually, rather than having them in their parts. Because at the moment, the only times we've seen that as part of fan edits. The other cool thing about, there's two cool things about this as well, is that a lot of the stuff that he includes within the short, and you can see it here in this final scene, as you can see it here with the Space Marine.
Spoilers.
Is that we're looking at a lot of lore that people don't really understand fully. And so there's been loads of competing theories online and on Reddit and all kind of things as well, where is he? What are the things in the sphere that you saw as part of the thing and all that kind of thing like that. But it's been very, very cool. And one of the other things you said is that sort of final part five kind of brings an end to Astartes as an animated short, but he has plenty of plans going forward for what's next. And at the end of this particular, at the end of part five, which we might look at in a bit, but it's not overly important, he shows off
I'm trying not to bust the spoilers for people.
Yeah, okay. So at the end of part five, he does a little bit of a tease of some different Space Marines and some different pattern armor and some different chapter insignias. He also shows off Eldar splinter rifle fire hitting a Space Marine's shoulder, and it looks absolutely stunning. And he's also done a Predator tank, coming up onto the rocks and firing the cannons.
I've got to show it. If you don't want to see it, look away now. You probably know what decided.
Yeah. It's a little tiny thing at the end, but
let's see. I don't know what the playback's like, fellas, but sort it.
It looks good to us. That's all.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then you get the splinter rifle fire. Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Let's see that again.
But no, hopefully this is going to be one of those things where he's able to continue doing his project. He has 6,000 backers on Patreon now to keep doing what he's doing. So hopefully that'll take him, allow him to devote time to creating this project itself. Maybe he'll get bought on by Games Workshop to do some stuff for Storyforge as well. Which is pretty cool.
It could well do. I think that'll be a great home for some of his work.
The great thing about it is it's really fluid animation too. It doesn't have, a lot of people who are sitting, maybe just a one-man band, don't have the animation skills. This guy seems to have it down pat, all of it. The texturing, the rendering, the animation skills, the concepting, working on his composition and stuff. Yeah.
Space Marine's killing people. It's so cool.
Very nice. Oh.
Oh, so good.
Right. What's next?
So this leads us on to something that's sort of Astartes adjacent. And this is that Cromlech, who a lot of people will know as doing accessories for whatever you might want to play in the grimdark future, are working on some shoulder pads based on the Retributor Space Marines that you saw in that short.
Ah.
So if you want to make yourself a Retributor chapter, then you can now, very, very soon, go and get the shoulder pads from Cromlech to make your own Space Marines. They all work with the Primaris-style Space Marines, but they could easily work for regular old store ones as well if you wanted to. And as well as that, you've also got that paint scheme that we looked at where you can see how it all comes together to create a Retributor army. So you can make your own force on the tabletop and maybe even play out those scenes in a little bit of kill team or something. That would be very cool indeed.
What's in the video?
Nice stuff from Cromlech. So this was just a trailer to show that they're doing it. So very cool.
There we go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Lovely stuff.
First of a series, so there's going to be more stuff in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Really nice. Really nice. Beautiful stuff. Really high quality stuff, the Cromlech items. Really, we've unboxed a load of it, and it's super.
If you've heard of Cromlech before, you probably know them as doing a lot of stuff to do with orcs, and their orc range is really nice. But they've expanded to do a whole bunch of other bits and pieces as well. So make sure to check them out, and we'll have a link in the show notes for you to do so.
Okie dokie. Right. Moving on, we have the Quest of the Ringbearer.
Yeah, so this was some news that came out for Middle Earth fans because they were not to be left behind in all the previews that we've been doing. So this is a new book that is coming out from the team that work on all the Lord of the Rings and Middle Earth stuff. You might know Rob Alderman. He's done some stuff in the past for each of the companies and stuff. Very, very cool guy. So he's been working on this. And it's run by a bunch of people who are very much fans of Tolkien. And so that's where this book comes in. So
Do you know what's funny about this is Rob's helping create a lot of really cool stuff. But I think he's most proud recently of becoming a meme.
this book takes you through every scenario that Frodo and Sam, the other ring bearer, have throughout the entirety of The Lord of the Rings. So it'll take you from Bag End all the way through to Mount Doom and getting to the top and casting the ring back into the fire, as Elrond would say. But the other cool thing about this is, as well as having all those narrative scenarios in there, which are what made me love the Lord of the Rings miniatures game back in the day, it's also got rules for making your own fantasy fellowship. So if you wanted to change up how the fellowship came together, there are rules in there for you to do that and run through the story. So if you didn't want Frodo to be the Ring Bearer, maybe you wanted
the Hobbit, sorry.
Maybe you wanted Aragorn to have taken the ring and been the one who goes to Mordor and, you know, fight that corruption. One of the things I've thought about is that Elrond was always very, very keen to have Eladan and Elra here, his sons, go as part of the fellowship, but they got replaced by Merry and Pippin in the actual sort of like overall story. So it'd be nice if Eladan and Elra here had gone. It would be really cool if, instead of Boromir, Faramir had turned up to the Council of Elrond and gone instead of Boromir, because then he wouldn't have been corrupted. So maybe he would have gone across with Frodo and Sam, crossed the river and headed off to Mount Doom with them and that kind of thing. So there's a really nice breadth of options for those people that want to try and game in the gaps, as we always say, with this. And it's a real credit to, I think, to the people behind the team at Middle Earth, that they've taken on board a lot of stuff that Community was always doing and what White Dwarf magazines always had in them as well. And they've brought that back to the fore as part of these books, which I think is really, really cool. So a really nice option there for Middle-earth players. This also came on the addition of a bunch of announcements for, well, two new models that they're going to be working on as well. So you're going to be making a Rangers of Ithilien warband.
I might bring them up.
Two characters.
Once I've stopped thinking about killing Merriam and Pippin off.
While you're thinking about that, how about this for a team to go to Mount Doom? You only need two. You just take little Frodo with his ring. And one of the giant eagles.
Just
drop him straight in.
I was thinking that. And then I thought of a better option. Radagast and his hares. He'd have that in there and back by tea time, man.
The Roscabel rabbits are very fast, as he says. So, yeah.
Oh, I can't watch him. He's covered in. It's horrible.
Right,
what's next? Rangers.
But no, yeah, some very cool stuff there. Do you want to show the Rangers quickly, Lloyd, just so we can...
I've stopped thinking about Merry and Pippin now, so I'm good.
So these are two of the Ithilien Rangers that fought alongside Faramir in Osgiliath, and you might remember them from the film as well. So this is Anborn and Mablung, who you might remember from that. So they're a couple of his companions, and they're actually part of something that's called Legendary Legions within the new books for Middle-earth, where if you take specific characters and troops... and you only focus on those, you get a detriment because obviously you don't get to draw from everything around the game, but you get a big bonus, like a little bit of a theme list like they used to do back in the day for War Machine and that kind of thing mixed into there as well. So some very cool characters, I think, are looking really nice. Much better than Eomer, as in they actually look like their characters. Eomer didn't look like Carl Urban last time, but anyway. But yeah, some very cool stuff there, which I think is very awesome for those people who love Middle-earth. So,
sweet. Would you be one of them?
I may be one of them because I've talked for quite a long time about it.
I love everything about Middle Earth except for the fact that they walk a lot. A lot of movies. There's hobbits
everywhere.
Even the
trees walked.
But other than that, everything's great.
Right. Code 1, Ben.
Yes.
What's the crack with Infinity's Code 1?
So you may remember a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about Operation Kaldstrom, which was the new battle pack that's coming out for Infinity, yeah. which allowed you to get into the game. And it came with the rule set called Code 1. So Code 1 is a cut down and quick and easy way to play Infinity. It takes out a lot of the slightly more sort of in-depth stuff that you get from playing the regular game and makes it much, much easier for new players to dive in. Well, apart from the Operation Kaldstrom box, which was where a lot of people were thinking, oh no, that's where the only place can get the rules from. Infinity, well, Corvus Belli have now made the rules available from that quick start set in available in PDF form. So you can go download those and have a look through and read through them.
This banner showing the set here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Are these rules the same as that, or are they like an even quicker version of that?
I believe they are the same set from that.
It'll be the same,
done,
yeah.
Yeah, but so, done in a PDF form.
The final Code 1 rules, I don't believe, are out yet.
No.
So what we're seeing. So remember, the path that Infinity is going to take is they're getting Code 1 into place first, okay? Yes. Through a series of steps, starting with these quick start rules, and then we'll get to the full Code 1 rules. The Code 1 rules are a simpler subset of rules that won't apply to the entire Infinity range,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
But Code 1 will be supported in the ITS, the Infinity Tournament mm-hmm. System, and they're there as a simpler, clean-cut set of rules for us mere mortals to be able to play that maybe don't have the huge amounts of time to invest.
Yeah.
N4 is then coming in behind it. N4 is the full Infinity rules covering the full Infinity range. And that is the next big update for all the hardcore and experienced Infinity players, once again, supported by ITS. So they've got these kind of two levels. And their hope is that Code 1, people get stuck in. If you're happy there, you can stay there. If you start to find that you want more meat to your game, then you mm-hmm. just step up into N4. So nice, easy.
That also ties into something they've been talking about, because they've created a new dedicated website for Code 1, which we'll have in the show notes and stuff. But they've basically tied this into its own enclosed ecosystem in a way. So obviously everything is compatible with everything effectively.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a range of models that are very much Code 1 related. So they are, as Warren was saying, it doesn't have everything from the range. You just draw from that, and that's all you need to worry about. I think it's really good for people who want to start playing the game.
Yeah.
That is quick. 11 pages.
Yeah.
I think that's basically the end of the rules there.
Yeah. But it should that's the kind of thing that should get you up and running quite quickly with Infinity. So even if you've got some of the miniatures already that you might want to, you know, proxy or something, you can do that. So
Okay. D&D next, Ben.
Yeah, so some stuff from D&D. In the spirit of playing apart but together, it seems to be the hashtag that everyone is using on social media right now. Mm-hmm. The people at D&D Beyond, who do all the digital stuff for Dungeons & Dragons, have made The Lost Mine of Phandelver an adventure free in digital form up until, I believe it's May 10th, I think it is. So for the moment, you can have a look at this over on their D&D Beyond site and play this with your friends if you're going to be diving into some games of Dungeons & Dragons. On top of, obviously, The Lost Mine of Phandelver being an adventure that's available, the basic rules for D&D are also available. So effectively, you can play D&D for free without having to do anything. Right now, which is pretty cool. The Lost Mine of Phandelver is a adventure that was a classic one, and then it got redone for the starter set for 5th edition. So it's been tried and tested, and it's quite well loved. I've played through it myself with some of my friends, and I very much enjoyed it. Came up with some very interesting moments here and there. There's a bit with a dragon, as you might imagine. It is D&D, and he's a big green dragon. And my friend failed his charisma check, and instead of trying to coerce the dragon, just basically shouted in his face, "You are very green," to which the dragon took umbrage to that and then proceeded to chase them out of the tower. But hopefully you'll do better than the bard in that.
You are very green.
You are very, very green. Okay.
So, yeah, some free stuff there for D&D if you want to dive in and give it a go. As I say, it's free till sort of mid-May, so go and have a go with it.
Yeah, Happy days. What's next up? Plastic Soldier, Northag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got another little bit of a preview of what the guys at Plastic Soldier Company have been doing. They are gearing up for their World War III release in 10mm, but also can be played in other millimeters as well. Some other measurements. So this is Northang, which is going to set you into World War III gaming, set in Europe. Obviously, you're going to have the Soviets in the mix here, going up against all the European powers that we've talked about in the past when we've dived into stuff to do with World War III. But they showed off a couple of previews, some of the sets they're working on. So they're all going to be done in their new Ultracast material, which you may have heard us talking about last week for Mortem et Glorium. So there's going to be a British starter army, and then there's a whole bunch of additional armored reinforcements on the way as well. As I was saying, all of these are going to be available in 10mm, but the actual rules for Battle Group, as our community will expunge for you, can be played in 6mm, 10mm, or 15mm. So if you have troops from all over the place, you can drop them in and start playing some games in World War III for Northag when that comes out very, very soon indeed.
I'm excited for this.
For modern gamers, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing some of this Ultracast stuff. You know, I've been watching the little previews and things like that pop up, and I can't wait to actually get some of it into my hands. And 10mm is a good scale. You know, it's a big fan of Drop Zone Commander. It rocked in at 10mm, and I thought it was a beautiful scale on the tabletop. So I'm really interested to see how this stuff turns out at that.
It's a good example. Because I was sitting here racking my brain trying to think, what does 10mm look like? That is a perfect example.
Yeah. It really does. You know, 10mm, the guys at Hawk, now TT Combat, nailed the 10mm stuff. It'd be really interesting to see how these guys do.
The thing that brings like an interesting element to that as well is that obviously when you think about 10mm and what Drop Zone Commander was able to do with that kind of idea of combined arms, sort of flying troops, you know, or flying vehicles, tanks and infantry. Think about that in the context of World War III, where you've got, you know, jets and you've got the tanks and all the infantry at the same time as well. So it's a good idea to kind of get into that headspace, what kind of games you could play when it comes to Northag. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Finally, we have, this must be a Jerry one. It's got to be a Jerry one. Peter's Paperboys Joist Game. Gary, is this one you've picked out, mate? Is it?
It's not one I've picked out. Thank you very much.
I thought this looked remarkably grognardy.
right up my strata, as you say. It's a lovely little set. It's in Peter's 54mm. Although because it's print at home, you can.
It's Mr. Ben on the tabletop.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. He did a really nice, when he put these up for free.
Yeah.
He did a nice little video where he has, you see in the background, you can see what looks like Henry VIII with possibly one or two of his wives and his mother friends in their little box. And he had them moving up and down like a Punch and Judy show, cheering. Going, hey!
Where is this video?
Unfortunately, I've not got a video in there, but
but it was just a little thing on YouTube, or not on YouTube, on Facebook.
But as Jerry was saying, it prints out in 54mm, and it works like a proper dexterity style game. So you ride the knights towards each other, and they knock each other off their horses.
The lands are actual too.
Game, is it?
Yeah. Or you can print it off in 56%, I believe, and it will be a 28mm game, and there's rules in there as well for free. For you to do it as a dice game instead of a dexterity-based game as well, which is pretty cool.
Are these cigarettes? He's wrapped them around.
They might be cigarettes.
with any of his stuff, it will always be sheets of flat paper.
You roll it up, and
if you happen to have the old styly paper straws, which I don't think anybody makes anymore, you could probably use those. But it's always nice to see doing something weird and wacky. I just want to have
paper straws now, man. They got away with plastic straws.
The last straw I used was just carved ivory. I'm not sure how other people do it.
I know. All my sucking is just horrible now. Have you tried sucking on paper straw? It's just
the problem is, Lloyd, if you suck it too long, it goes soft.
That's true.
You know, and it's just not a good look. Right.
But I was just going to quickly say.
Where do we get that from again? Just before you steer off.
So that's from Peter Paper's Boy.
McDonald's, Peter, Lloyd. McDonald's. your best place.
Right, so that's from Peter's Paper Boys. They do. We've talked about them before on, I think, maybe the last couple of shows, actually.
Peter'sPaperBoys.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's papercraft models that you can cut out and stuff. So it's great if you're trying to do a little bit of homeschooling or something and you want to do like a little bit of crafting, or maybe you want to teach your kids about like the medieval era and you want to do something fun, like an activity, then that's also an option to do there as well. So some cool stuff for those people that are trapped indoors at the moment. So
that's a good idea, man. That's a much safer idea than the medieval training I had, where I was going to get them to throw turnips at their mother.
And give them, put them on bikes and have broomsticks and then do a jousting. Yeah.
We totally did that when we were kids. We totally did that with the broomsticks.
I'm surprised,
man.
I still have fingers.
When we were kids, you had proper bins that you could use for shields.
Correct. Yeah.
Big metal ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got bashed to bits.
Oh, man. Right. It's that final part of the show. Right? Ben, we challenge you every week. You don't often let us down.
He's safe this week because I know where he got them from.
Oh, did you pick them? Yeah. Ah, right. Okay, Jerry.
These are Jerry's picks, so he can go for it, yeah.
Jerry. What is our Kickstarters this week? What should we be splurging what little money we have left on?
First splurge, the people at Free League Publishing. Free League. If people haven't heard of them by now, they probably will shortly, because the Amazon TV series of Tales from the Loop was released this week. And they have come to Kickstarter with a board game based on their original Tales from the Loop, based in Sweden and Scandinavia. So this takes it back to, I think the TV series is based in America, but this is going back to Sweden and some islands there. So this is all based on Simon Stollenhag's vision of a 1980s where a particle accelerator was switched on called the Loop, and it gave them the ability to make levitating vehicles, robots, machines that we could never have made in the 80s. It also caused some other issues, which I won't go into if you haven't looked at the background, because some of that will probably come up in the TV series that's on at the moment, so I don't want to spoil things for people. Mm-hmm. But the 1980s was a weird time, and Tales from the Loop is based about a group of kids. So you're young teenagers, you're very much like the Goonies, you're running about, there's a spoiler there. You're investigating things. And the way the board game works is you and your friends work cooperatively to try and find out the weird stuff that's happening. So when you start your game, you draw a scenario card, and the games look like the scenarios are based over 2 weeks. So you've got 14 days, and each day is a turn. Now, the thing about being a kid is you don't have free rein. You're not running about helter-skelter all the time. So your scenario might be to solve a mystery that's happening on one of the islands. You have to try and work out how best to do that. But you also have to fit in your school day, which is the first phase, your chores that you have to do, and other bits and pieces. But obviously Monday to Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you've got as much time as you need. So you've got a set of time cubes for your group, and you might be able to get out early. Maybe if you've got a substitute teacher on, you might be able to blag them that you should be going early today. And if you succeed, then you get an extra time cube because you've been let out an hour earlier. So there's a lot of interesting plays between the kids and the group. Your players aren't playing a turn each. You pick and choose between you. So you might have somebody go off and listen to a rumor that they've heard in school, and that might take them to another island, and then maybe you could go elsewhere and do something else. And then the first person gets to that rumor and goes, well, actually, if you come and help me, because you've got a bike and I've got some cables here, we could actually tow this home. I can't do it by myself, I'm not strong enough. And you go, well, it's going to cost me like a cube to get there, and then maybe a time cube to help you, and yeah, we could do it, but that's going to leave me short and I'm not going to get home in time, and that's curfew. And that impacts you as well, because the first time you're home late, it doesn't make a huge difference. Your parents are okay. But if you're late more and more often, then you start getting a little sort of negative. So your parents might not drive you round to your friend's house to help you, or you might get grounded for a couple of days, so you've got less time. So it's these little fun scenarios based around the like, exploration of being a kid. So
like when kids hear things, round to Wolfgang's house to build your spaceship to go into outer space.
Yes, exactly. That sort of thing.
I love the explorers.
You found it was amazing. You found footprints somewhere, or maybe you found a claw from a dinosaur, and you want to go. You know, are they still out there? You've got all of these things. Your cousins are visiting. You want to impress your cousins by going, and you've told them you've snuck into that military base before. So can you go and sneak in there? So it's a fun little thing. If you are into the RPG and the TV series, you already know the background. It's probably going to be good fun. Some people may come across this from the TV series and go, well, I'm not into role-playing. It's not something I do. This board game is like a very cut down, easy to get into version of the RPG. Yeah. You're telling those stories, but without having to go through the whole RPG basis. So you're not having to sit there and go, well, this is the scene. Here's what you're going. You've got a more self-contained way to play through the world he's created. The miniatures in it, and there's only sort of like four droid sets at the moment, are being made by Palo Parente's Dust Studios. Throw them. I imagine with stretch goals, we're going to see more things coming in. There's cardboard standees for the characters at the moment. They may be replaced in time. So there's certainly ways to go. But yeah, it's fascinating. I am a big fan of pretty much everything Free League's done, and certainly the stuff Simon's done for Tales from the Loop and Things from the Flood. So if you are interested in this, it's good. If you're interested in the RPGs as well, as you've just seen there, they're all available through the Kickstarter at the moment. I think there's like money off on them, which is good as well. So there you go, the Dinosaur Mini has been unlocked, so that's new. he wasn't there whenever I last looked yesterday. So Tales from the Loop, Things from the Flood is not the same game.
Happy days. 27 days left, so it's only just really cropped up. So
just kicked off.
What's next then, Jerry?
Next, I'm going to do some more paper crafting with you.
Hey!
and this is the Cloud Dungeon 2, the Sunken Dungeon. So I hadn't heard about the Cloud Dungeon beforehand. So this game is a sort of exciting and new thing for me. But essentially it's a role-playing game that you play with, well, it's made for kids or families. It's a cooperative adventure. But more than that, it is a paper crafting adventure. So your book, when it will arrive, contains all these things that you can cut out. So you get your character sheet, you get the kids to color it in, everything is on that. If you find a hat, you put the hat on. If you take an injury, his foot's off, you lose the foot. So you're working together to tell your story as you explore the underwater realm and try and find a new place for humanity to exist. And you may find different things like octopus pets and stretch goals and that sort of thing. As an aside, apart from doing your usual adventuring group, you have a submarine. And like Firefly itself, can you scroll back up slightly there, Lloyd? You upgrade as you find stuff, as you find loot, you build this as a group. And this submarine is your home when you explore. You can drop down a bit. And it also has a little sort of side mission-y part where you get these cooperative submarine battles. And this I found really fascinating because I used to play a game. It was called the Star Trek Mega Game. It was based on, I think, Starfleet Battles, but each person would have a specific place on the ship that they had to map. This seems to have the same thing, but in a very much reduced way for kids, where you've got your pilot, you've got a gunner, maybe you take damage and you start flooding, so somebody will have to go and start manning the pumps. It's all of this idea of getting the cooperative stories, adventures, and there are risks. Your characters may die, but because it's for kids, if a character dies, they're not out of the game. They're friendly ghosts like Casper who can hang around with them and play through when they go. So this is the second game. You can pick up the earlier games, which is Cloud Dungeon. Obviously, before they went to the clouds, they went underwater. And Expelled, which is like cut price Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a wizarding school, but it's a wizarding school that people get accepted into if they don't have the money or aren't good enough or are just are criminal. You know, if you've not managed to make it into Hogwarts, then you go here instead. Now, Andrew, the guy who's running this, has done some very nice things. There's like PDF bits and bobs on his website that you can download if you've got kids at home at the moment and you're looking for something to do. There are little colouring bits and bobs that his quarantine pack there. Exactly. But what he said is, he was launching this Kickstarter, he'd already had it planned, and then Corona came along, and he's going, well, maybe people don't have the resources, maybe they've just been laid off or whatever. You never know where people are going to be sitting in the world. If people wanted to back this and they don't have the money, if they email him, because it's funded, he recorded this before it was funded, so he's saying, as long as we fund, we'll do this, and we're making the PDF anyway. Mm. You can get a free copy of them if you're not in a position where you can actually buy it. It's not a big buy-in, but he understands that some people, you know, it's a cheap thing to do at home with the kids if you just print out some sheets and then you can play. Yeah. So that's free. If you have some cash and you fancy doing it, he set up a sponsored bit where you can buy a copy for yourself and a copy for someone else. And he's just going to start going down the list. Mm-hmm. So if people email him and go, I can't afford it, and go, okay, well, I think he's got 20 copies at the moment of sponsored copies from other people. So like the first 20 people, if you're in the States, because this is semi-state centric, it's being printed and posted in States for free. If you're international, you back it at an international level, and then it'll be available as print on demand with a reduced price from Lulu once the thing ships. So I absolutely adore it. It's a really unique, different way of doing role-playing games with kids, and it's a lot of interactivity in it as well.
So
it's really nice to see just this, get kids around the table, get them involved in a cooperative role-playing adventure, but also keep them, you know, it's like if kids are sitting there and you're not talking to them, and maybe you're talking to somebody else and they're getting distracted and bored because it's not about them, they can be colouring in the submarine, or they can be doing bits and bobs to their character. They can be still crafting and staying engaged with the stories you're telling without having to worry about them wandering off and keeping them going that way.
One of the things that I liked about this as well when I saw it was that it might even be one of those things that is the catalyst for younger people to then try and design something of their own.
Yeah.
So they can use things like this and use it almost like a toolbox to do their own stuff as well, which I think is really cool. So.
Yes, it has been aimed it's aimed at younger players, it's aimed at families. It could potentially be run by 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because the rules are that simple. So
you learn as you go, don't you?
So, and you do sit down with the rule book and go, I need to read this, and then we'll play it. You sit down with the rule book and go, we're going to play this now. Get your colouring pencils, kids. Let's go. And you just open it and tear away, so that the learning curve is not steep at all in there. So, a fascinating little thing from Auntie Drew, which is, I think, his Twittery name or something.
Two excellent choices, Jerry, my man. Ben, you've got your work cut out for you, dude. Right.
Oh, no, God. Oh, okay.
20 days left on Sunken Dungeon, if you want to go and back it. That wraps us up. Remember, we do prizes in this. If you want to check out, if you're a winner, head across to the Prize Claim Center over on Tabletop. Remember, this week we're giving away a copy of the amazing, probably the best starter box in the world right now, and that's to Hit the Beach for Flames of War. It's incredible. We're giving a copy of that away. Remember to come across to ontabletop.com, beast4.com, create yourself a free account, leave us a comment, and you'll be in for the draw on that. Other than that, while you're there, why not check out the projects and have a crack at a project yourself, and you could win £50 voucher. And if you don't win a £50 voucher, you're still amazing for just getting involved.
Exactly.
It's right.
A win-win.
On Sunday, us four are doing a show called the XLBS for the Cult Games members. It's we're going to be talking about some of the projects that we're working on and all sorts of other fun stuff. So if you fancy coming across and watching that, join the Cult of Games. It really, really helps us right now if you do that. So, we hope to see some more of you guys over there and in our Discord. Right, gentlemen, that wraps us up for Friday night. Thanks for watching, guys.
go ahead and check out our other content on screen now. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.